Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I'm Scott Hensler, your host. I have not been on this channel for some time, Scott Hensler Network, but I'm going to bring these shows hopefully every day, along with Second Heaven Invasion on Blog Talk, and as a co-host on Walking Among Spirits, which is where I'm normally at. But with the issues that I'm seeing accelerate, we see in the Middle East, we see Iraq, Iran, ISIS invasion. We see Syria, we see Russia, we see China. We see with the situations even here with Obama creating executive orders, circumventing Congress, FEMA, Homeland Security, and then the issues of the military troops who are killing themselves at somewhere between 22 and 25 a day. This is unacceptable. And where does this all extend from? Well, we know that it's not coming from God, that it's coming from Satan, the great destroyer. He wishes to destroy God's people, which are made in the image of God. Satan has a bone to pick, and the way he's doing it is through us. And how is he getting away with it? Because he has little or no opposition. So this broadcast, I'm going to focus on the Christian church and deliverance, or I should say, the lack of. Without deliverance, an individual who's become a Christian, let's say at age 30, and they spent most of their adulthood, you know, we'll just say from 18 up through, of drinking, drugs, fornication, different types of behaviors that have allowed the demonic a legal right to the individual, then they become a Christian. Now, at the point of accepting Jesus Christ, there is a certain amount of deliverance that takes place. There's no question about that. I can remember when I became a Christian, the truth, the love, the desire to draw closer to God just swept in where the Holy Spirit with Jesus Christ, the understanding and the recognition of how sinful I was, what road I was going down. I was going down the wrong road. I was going the road of destruction. I was starting into New Age. I was doing a little bit of outer body experiences and going to psychics, and I opened up all these doors with all the sins that I had in the past, and I was literally being hammered by the demonic and had a horrible visitation in my apartment back in, I believe it was 93, after trying to do an outer body chant. I was doing the transcendental meditation. I was trying to go into the spirit realm. Well, lo and behold, I was successful. But at the experience of doing that, I experienced the demonic, which is the second heaven, the fourth dimension, This is where we're not supposed to go. This is an abomination told to us by God in the Old Testament that we're not to partake in such things of divination and sorcery and witchcraft, which is really what this is. And because of doing that, I then experienced evil raw. My whole apartment, including the bedroom that I eventually went into, the demons were literally coming out of nowhere and approaching me very slowly. It was as if they were still being held back, but yet they were crawling and scratching and coming at me. And the most fearful part of this is that when I entered into this other dimension, that it was bad enough to see the demonic. What was really bad is that the presence of God was no longer there. It was, if I could explain it, of the biblical scripture saying being thrown out into outer darkness, being cast out into outer darkness, that's pretty much what I think I was experiencing. And the fearful part was that there was no God. Now, even though I was not a Christian at that time, the fact of removing the Holy Spirit, there was such a drastic change from having the protection of God, even though I was in my sins, to not having the protection. This contrast was the most fearful experience I'd ever had in my life. And as a divine intervention, a week prior to that, God had sent me a man who at one time was in the ministry. And through my questioning, trying to find truth, he had suggested to me to buy a Bible. So I had, within arm's reach in that bedroom, a New and Old Testament. I don't remember what version it was, whether it was King James or what, I don't remember, because I eventually gave that to someone else who else I was witnessing to. And I grabbed that Bible, I held it in my hand, and in my fear, I said, God, make these things go away. Well, God honored me. And it was as if a movie set where all of a sudden the lights were turned on. The darkness completely went away at the snap of a finger. The demonic was no longer there. I was still pretty shaken up. Because I had seen this and what I experienced and in my spirit. And I walked out of the bedroom. I went into the bedroom. I turned on into the living room. I turned on the TV. And I'm not a Benny Hinn fan, but he was on TBN. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, this all started at 11 o'clock. So what was 5 minutes or 10 minutes was really 3 hours. That time, that dimension was completely altered. So Benny Hinn was doing an altar call, and I knew right then that there was no question that I was going to now repent, turn to God, and accept Jesus Christ in my heart. And that's what I did. That was, I believe it was 93, 2 o'clock in the morning, in an apartment in Mesa, Arizona. And I look back at that now, and that was definitely a divine intervention. God, what God was doing, he was saying, okay, Scott, you want to see what the spirit realm looks like? Here it is. And he gave me a taste of it. And I'll tell you what, people, those that have done what I've done and have been taken by demons, and I've dealt with many people since then, and I've heard other testimonies, that they have the outer body where the demons actually come and take them to other places in the dimensions, in the dimension, and in that they think that they see that they're touring the universe, and maybe to a point, I don't know, because there is no distance in the spirit realm. It is the fourth dimension. And so what's happened is that these individuals become demonized. They didn't know about Christ. They didn't want to come to Jesus. They rejected God. They were brainwashed, or they had no influence in their life to even think that God could be a part of this. And so they're tormented, they're demonized, and or when they become Christians, they've carried these sins with them into their Christian walk. And they didn't get deliverance. And now they're 5 years, 10 years into it, just like I was. Didn't understand that I needed to be delivered of the curses and the sins and the demonic legal rights that I had empowered Satan to have over me because of my willful sin, especially the divination. Now, sex outside of marriage and divination, we'll just call it witchcraft, are two very, very heavy sins. Not all sins are created equal, but all sins, when they manifest and are matured, will lead to death. But the open doors that were created through the sins that I had done through promiscuous behavior and witchcraft were in me and not coming out of me until somebody was willing to pray for me, to deliver me, to cast them out, and for me to understand that this was necessary in my life to be done in order for me to continue my walk with God without intervention, without some type of blocks to keep me from being the man of God that God intended me to be. And in time, I spent about, 7, close to 9, maybe possibly 10 years of being thrown around, being abused by the demonic, having situations and altercations in the spirit realm by third parties that were brought into my life because I was an open target. I was easy pickings. It was shooting fish in a barrel because I had not been delivered. Now, upon the last of the circumstances, even in my Christian walk, and believe me, I loved God, I loved Jesus Christ, I read the Word, I went to everything that I could get my hands on. Some of the Christian men organizations, Promise Keepers, anything I could go to, anything I could learn, any Bible study, I would go to it. But it didn't matter because I still had this iniquitous pull because of the demons that were infesting my mind, infesting my body, were drawing me back to the old man, were drawing me back to my sins. The curses that were on me from generations to the curses I had placed on myself were continuing to manifest in my life regardless of what I did. Eventually, I found a ministry in Phoenix, Scottsdale, Arizona, that I literally crawled into because I was so beaten up. I was so distraught. I had lost hope. I didn't understand what was going on. And I found people who knew what they were doing, who understood and believed the commission, the great commission of Jesus Christ, that knew that Jesus was prophesied in Isaiah 61 to heal the sick and to set the captives free, to preach the gospel to all the world. And they took it seriously. They understood it. And so they had a deliverance ministry within their church. So I went through a long process of repenting, of renouncing, having people pray over me and breaking the curses off of me and casting the demons out. Now, I was layered. I had done so much over a long period of time that it didn't just happen overnight. There was a consecration that needed to take place. For every step I moved forward, Satan was always trying to push me back, and God was most likely waiting to see just how true I was. Now, of course, he knows all things. He's omnipresent. He's all-knowing. But we have, in an act of faith, to prove our obedience. And so as I was proving my obedience, as I was staying in the Word of God, continuing in deliverance, it took about 6 months. Now, in that time, there was a battle taking place, because though that some spirits were taken out, there still would be another layer or another grouping. Spirits come in all types, unclean, familiar, and deceiving. And in these familiar groups, you have clairvoyance. So if you're not cleared of that and you think you're prophetic, you may have influences of the demonic that is a a familiar spirit injecting their thoughts into you instead of you hearing completely from the Holy Spirit. That was still taking place. Then you have deceiving spirits, which is thinking that my sins that I was still committing as a Christian was not going to affect my walk and prevent me from more deliverance. Okay, so that's another one. Plus the lies that I believed in myself, where I had lost worth. I didn't see myself as a child of God. I didn't understand that the full love of God that Jesus had done on the cross to bring me back into relationship. So I didn't see it that way. Then those other issues that come in with anger, bitterness, resentfulness, addictions, things that would keep any Christian from moving forward were still in me. And so as these things came out, there would be a war take place, because if you get rid of a couple demons, you may have more that then want to take its place. As I mentioned before in some of the other broadcasts, demons do not like themselves. They do not like each other. And a lot of them are bound, because they're under assignment of Satan, to do what they're doing. And whatever spirit they are of, meaning that if they're a spirit of anger, then their manifestations are anger. If they're a spirit of lust, then there's perversion, there's homosexuality, there's promiscuous behavior within marriages. And so when these things manifest, or when they're removed, then others will try and take its place. And that's where you need to fill yourself up with the Word of God. You need to have your mind renewed. You need to have the mind of Christ. And as this took place, I got stronger. I started hearing more from God. I was rejecting those things that would still come upon me. As the curses were broken, I was able to move in the power and authority of God that I had never known before. Many of you have never really experienced the power of God. You really have not seen a healing. You haven't seen a deliverance. You haven't seen the blessings pour upon people. You're still fighting. You're still being attacked because you haven't been delivered. You haven't had the curses broke off of you. Now, there's a certain point in time where I became strong enough that I eventually entered into the deliverance ministry. That was 2001, and I've been doing it ever since. They healed me. They delivered me. I saw how important it was, and I wanted to pay back to assist and help others, and I've been doing it ever since. And coming from an engineering background, both in the semiconductor and the chemical industry and the electronic controls industry and even radio frequency transmitters, I was involved in a lot of engineering, a lot of new design, a lot of groundbreaking technology that set me into a mindset that if I couldn't see it, then I didn't believe it. If it couldn't be proven by science, then therefore it wasn't true. But yet, there's the spirit realm. So I had a lot of programming, deprogramming, understanding, words of knowledge to bring into alignment as I received the Word of God, as I was renewed in my mind to receive the mind of Christ. Then I started to understand that science can actually explain the spirit realm. And that was exciting to me. And so with enthusiasm, I moved forward to research as much as possible how these things really take place. How does a demon control an individual? How do they speak to their mind? How do they get them to do things? How do they make cancers? How do they make illnesses, infirmities, mental illness? How does this all work? Now, humanism will bring in psychology. Now, we are a creature of habit, and there is a lot that is true when it comes to psychology because of the behavior of man. But when it comes to abnormal psychology, this is a demonic setup, because we were never, since we're made in God's image, then why in the world will we have bipolar disorder? Why would we hear voices? Why would we have mental disorders that cause personality disorders, borderline personality disorders, different destructive behaviors of narcissism, antisocial behaviors? This is not coming from God. This is all demonic. This was not in the garden. Now, I'm bringing this all together to make you understand that if you have not been delivered, it may be hard for you to comprehend deliverance. It may be hard for you to comprehend that we are in a spiritual war. And so those that have come out of the seminaries, especially for the past 100 years, so we've got a lot of pastors, teachers, evangelists, that have come out of these groups that have been programmed to think that deliverance isn't necessary, that this was all finished on the cross. And of course, the law was completed by Jesus Christ on the cross. But what he did is he gave us all power and authority to stand against the wiles of the enemy. That until his return, we are in a spiritual battle. We are dealing with a hand-to-hand spiritual combat of Satan, the fallen angels, and demons. And unless we understand that, we stand down. We think, well, the death of so-and-so was God's will. No, it wasn't. It was the destruction of Satan. We see this in Job, how Job was terrorized by Satan, and his family, his sibling, his children were killed, his cattle was killed, he was robbed, he was basically destroyed. Now, it was under the allowance of God, and that's a representation that if we sin or continue in sin or have not repented of our sin, that though the law was fulfilled and finished with Jesus Christ, that we put ourselves back underneath the law. Now, in the Old Testament, Moses' law was for our protection, that as long as we followed the law, the demonic didn't have a right to them because Jesus Christ had not fulfilled it yet. So there had to be a protection, and that's where the sacrifices of animals needed to continue on for the remission of sins and to bring them around. But it was a repetitive that never stopped until the cross. But now things have changed. They haven't ended, but they changed to our advantage. So instead of us retreating, we're now the aggressor. We now draw the sword of the Spirit and we charge into the battle as God intended us to do. Meaning we take back ground, we pull down strongholds, we cast out demons, we heal the sick, we set the captives free. That's our job until Jesus Christ returns. That's the Great Commission. Unfortunately, the churches have denied this. And because they've denied it, because the pastors think that they don't need to, and this comes along with some of the doctrines of pre-trib rapture, and I'm not going to get into that, but what this has caused is to think that since you don't have to deal with the coming tribulations, not the wrath, the tribulations, don't mix the two together, because we see this in Revelation, that even in the elect's sake, that during these turmoils of the beast, the rise of the beast, that we're up to our neck in chaos. And so with thinking that you are not going to go through this, you stand down. You do not war. You do not pray. You do not renounce. You do not break curses. You do not deliver. You do not lay hands on people. And that is exactly what Satan wanted all along. As long as good men do nothing, evil will prevail. You cannot negotiate with evil. You have to eradicate it. No ifs, ands, or buts, period. You think you can hide from the devil? You think you can run from the devil? Remember, this is a spiritual battle. They have the ability to see, to do, to manipulate, to control, that without the Holy Spirit, we're sitting ducks. And because the church on the grand scale has stood down, denied deliverance, telling the congregation that we do not need to pray, that we do not need to do this because a Christian cannot have a demon, well, I'll tell you what, that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. And anybody who tells you that, hasn't done their homework, has deceived themselves, and is assisting Satan and the sacrifice of God's people. Because even good Christians kill themselves. Even good Christians die before their time. Even good Christians have mental illnesses, have sicknesses, have issues that keep them from being the man and woman of God that God intended them to be. So if you're assisting them, then you've got some answering to do when Jesus Christ returns. Because we are called to fight evil. We are called in the Great Commission to stand against the wiles of the enemy, to put on the full armor of God, to heal the sick, set the captives free. We see in Matthew 15 that the deliverance is the children's bread. We see in Matthew 16 Jesus rebuked the spirit of Satan speaking through Peter. Peter, who loved Jesus Christ, who was an apostle, who was right there. Satan was using him. How can Satan use him if he's in Christ? We are body, mind, soul, spirit, flesh. We have the Spirit of God in a body that we call the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have a soul which makes up our personalities, which makes up our thoughts. And the Spirit of God that's been placed into us, then if the sins that have been done by the body, sins that have been through divination, have not been repented, then the demons still have a legal right to your mind and your body. The battle is in the mind. Paul knows this well. He had a thorn in his side, a messenger of Satan. So if anyone thinks that Christians cannot have a demon, they are heavily deceived. For the past 13 years, I have been praying, I have been delivering, casting out demons of 99% of all of the Christians, meaning that only 1% were non-Christian, those that the Holy Spirit said, yes, go ahead and pray for them, because they will give their heart to Christ. Because if you deliver somebody that does not have Jesus Christ, if you cast the demons out, they'll come back with seven times greater. They'll be worse than they were before. Now, a Christian who does not fill the areas up that are made void when you cast the demon out, you can fall back in your sins, like the dog returning back to the vomit. You need, especially those who did deal in the occult, who did heavily deal in witchcraft and sorcery, and were heavy drug users, they're on a short leash. You may be delivered, but you have got to walk the line. You cannot drink the cup of demons and the cup of Christ. Once you are delivered, Satan will keep putting his big toe in the water to test the temperatures to see if you've gone cold. That if you are willing to turn back to the flesh, to your old ways, the thoughts, the circumstances, he'll bring people into your lives. If you haven't been completely delivered, if there's more things to be brought out, you may still have the curse. Force bringing a iniquitous pull back into that sin or other sins. And so deliverance needs to be a process of consecration of the flesh, meaning that the demonic right to you, your body, your mind, once these are broken, as you move forward, you prove to God your obedience. You prove that you are in Christ. You demonstrate that you have the mind of Christ and that it is only God. It is Jesus plus nothing. That you are dedicated to serving the kingdom and that you're not a false convert. Because the churches are full of false converts, meaning that these people came to Christ only in intellect, only in their mental thought their cognitive thought and not in a spiritual sense. This means that what takes place with most false converts is that they may come forward during an altar call, and their life is a mess and there's a bad situation, but they fully don't comprehend or they're not willing to repent of their sins, and they come forward and accept Jesus Christ, and therefore there's a legal stronghold of the demonic to still have the individual, and that their heart is still bound. Because you need to release your spirit to God. You need to release your soul to God in order for Him to come in and be able to take care of business. Because you have been given free will. And in that choice, you make a choice who you're going to serve. And if you haven't surrendered, then you can become what we call a false convert. And what that means is that as you move through, you, for a time, you know, the parable of the seeds that fell on rocky ground and did not take hold, those that may have fell into the soil that was shallow and didn't receive much water, that they sprouted, but then they withered and died away because Satan came and stole it. That's exactly what happens. And so because of this, there's a lot of people in churches, a lot of Christians that, as it says, there'll be a great falling away, there's a great deception, because they really haven't surrendered to Jesus Christ. And so they're there in physical form in the churches, being entertained, not in the spirit, and since they don't really know the Word of God, because they don't really read it, then they're susceptible to the deception of different spirits, because they don't test the spirit. And so they go down, they receive almost any kind of doctrine that tickles their ear. And so now we have these churches all over America and other countries that are not really teaching the fourfold ministry of Jesus Christ. And deliverance is void. And this is a complete setup of Satan, because if you don't have deliverance, then Satan can continue in his deception and lie and keep the saints bound. We perish from lack of knowledge. And this is exactly where Satan wants you. He wants you bound. He wants you to not have discernment or wisdom. Prophetic churches are a prime example. As long as everything's in order and that the people have been delivered, that they allow the Holy Spirit to work through them, to give them words of knowledge, discernment, and to understand the situation at hand with an individual and pray over them. In fact, a very prophetic people make excellent deliverance ministers. I'd like to see more in the deliverance ministry of those who are prophetic, because that wisdom, that knowledge, that discernment, that is a gift given to you, works very well, because you've got a better concept of the demonic at hand within an individual, because God's speaking through you. Not to say that those in the deliverance ministry aren't prophetic, because once you're working with an individual in the spirit, then God does speak to you. But I'll tell you what, when the body is made up of the hands and the feet and the head, and that we're the body of Christ, and we need everybody to do this, the fourfold ministry, a deliverance ministry, a healing ministry, a prophetic ministry, but also test the spirit. Because if you can expose these spirits, then the deception, the false doctrine within a church can be exposed. And this is one of the main reasons deliverance is not taking place in the churches, because the pastor himself needs deliverance. The board of directors, which is, I don't even want to go there, they need deliverance. They have not surrendered. They have not repented. Maybe they're a Mason. Maybe they're into businesses that are illegal. Maybe they've got a stake in the church, so the tithes and offering have some type of financial benefit. And Jesus himself in the temple and the synagogue found this repulsive and went after the money changers. And let me tell you, there's really no difference. If it comes down to money, the root of evil is money. The love of money. Meaning that you've made it your god. You have it as an idol. You set God aside. You set Jesus aside to bring funds into the church so you can have the biggest church, so you can have the best sound system, so you can expand into other things, but you're really not preaching the Word of God. You're not healing anybody. You're not delivering anybody. You're giving them a soft, watered-down testimony of God, and it has no power because the Holy Spirit cannot flow in that church. So let's say that you buy this half-million-dollar chandelier, and you put it in the foyer of the church, just outside the sanctuary, but yet you didn't bring any electrical power to it. No wires. You just hung it up there. So someone comes in, they need light, they throw the light switch, and this beautiful, wonderful chandelier does nothing. It's only a facade. It's only for works, for looks. It does not have application. It does not work. It brings no light. That's the same example as a church that does not have a deliverance ministry. Because the saints are not being delivered. The saints are not being brought out of the lies. They are not being healed. They are not being removed from the curses that plague them. And what are those curses? Sickness, heart attack, stroke, cancers, divorce, barrenness, and other sins of sexual natures that keep them in bondage because of fornication, adultery, and even homosexuality. This is why it's running rampant in the churches. Now, Jezebel, we see in Revelation 2:20 when Jesus, through John, states that he has this against the church, that the church allows Jezebel to deceive the saints, to operate in the church, causing them to eat meat sacrificed to idols, and that Jesus is so appalled by this that he says that unless she repents, that he would throw her children into a sick bed. And so we see curses take place within congregations because there's full operating Jezebels. And why are they there? To keep those who have wisdom, who have discernment, who have knowledge. If a pastor truly has been giving the gifts and he's answered the call of a fourfold ministry, to take him out, to keep him from operating, which exposes the demonic. That's the whole reason churches do not have deliverance ministries, is because deliverance ministries set the captives free, who then can receive the Holy Spirit, have the gifts to expose the enemy. And if you expose the enemy for who it is, what it is, and what they're doing, they no longer are able to hide in secret. That's what a Jezebel does, is work in secret. Goes around and convinces others to have hatred or resentfulness, to be resentful of the pastor or others in the congregation, to cause division and to make an alliance with her or him. It can be either sex, to then come against the pastor or come against an elder who is a strong Christian, who has been given the gifts of wisdom and discernment and leadership to bring a church into the right realm that God has directed for that church. But because of the weakness of the pastor, weakness of the congregation, the wrong doctrine, the rejection of the Great Commission of Jesus Christ, then this is what takes place. So the end result, the congregation has sickness, has divorce, has broken families to the point that it's like it is a generational curse that continues on to the children. Curses are real, people. They can be spoken, or they can be curses brought onto you by your sin. They can be curses of generations. Maybe your great-grandfather was a Mason. Maybe your great-grandfather, somewhere along the line, did something to somebody else that opened up a door. May have been a practicing sorcerer. May have been into divination, into witchcraft. Grandma might have been into witchcraft. You don't know. You go back a couple generations. You've got 15 people behind you that possibly could have cursed you. And since the church, the basic church doesn't practice deliverance, doesn't break curses, doesn't deliver people, then these curses continue to perpetuate and even gain strength that over the centuries, over the thousand years from the cross, we have generations upon generations that have continued the curses. And they say, well, Scott, it only goes to third and fourth. Oh, really? That's a minimal. Why? Because then the generation that's cursed is brought into other sins, iniquitous pools. They commit sins. They continue the curse. Once the curse gets momentum in a family, it can only be broken by the blood of Jesus Christ. How many families have you seen that disaster and poverty and sickness and criminal behavior, drug abuse, alcoholism, spousal abuse, molestation, rape? You spend enough time in the deliverance ministry, you've seen it all. And I don't care what family, there's something in every family because there hasn't been deliverance. So shame on you, churches. Shame on you, pastors. Shame on you, leaders, elders, who reject deliverance in a church. God is going to hold you responsible for the destruction of his people, because we've been commanded through the Great Commission of Jesus Christ to empower, to release the saints of Jesus Christ, the elect of God, to move forward in the power and authority given to us on the cross by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who willfully came to the cross to give us salvation, to give us eternal life, that we may have it more abundantly in these days, but with it the ability to stand against the wiles of the enemy. And without it, take a look at it. Get on the internet. Where's the government? What's the Illuminati doing? What's the NSA doing? What's the CIA doing? What's Homeland Security doing? What's FEMA doing? What's the Pentagon doing? Look at the judges turning over the laws. They're not there to make laws. They're there to enforce laws. What was right is now wrong, and what was wrong is now right. Just as Scripture says, just as God's Word says, it's being turned around. And because the churches are powerless, because they haven't been delivering their saints, we're spectators sitting here watching this take place, and it affects our children. I've said this before, Satan hates us because we're made in God's image, but Satan hates our children more than he hates you and me, because children represent purity. They haven't done the sins you and I have done. And so they're trying to do everything, demons, to ensnare, to entrap, to hold in bondage, to continue the generational curses that he then will have our children. When I break curses, I say I break this generational curse off of whoever I'm praying for, and all future generations, and all future generations. Now, of course, these things can only take place if there's repentance. So the whole point in this broadcast concerning the church and deliverance is to understand then that the church is unrepentive. And if a church is not repentive, then Jesus himself in the last days said that he will remove the candlestick, that church will no longer be a part of God's kingdom. And how many churches out there do you see that do not do deliverance? And when the order is given by Obama and his cronies, being the Luciferian, the Illuminati, that those troops, foreign troops that are on our soil, the Blue Hats, under the United Nations, part of the United Nations, that when that order is given, and they come after the Christians, they come after the gun owners, they come after every citizen that's patriotic, because NSA is already documented, which is part of the beast system, under the Luciferian control, being the Illuminati, that those who are demonized, those who have not been delivered, are now going to be taken over and used as a source to complete Satan's assignment. That means the false converts, that means the Wiccans, that means the New Agers, that means the practicing homosexuals, that means those who are not in Christ are now going to be demon-possessed. And in my opinion, those who are not in Christ are possessed anyways, just not fully demonized. I saw in 2005, after deliverance on my way home, God revealed to me how this was going to take place. I'm not the only one who saw this. There are others that are on talk shows, those who are very well known in their watch hour ministries, have seen the same thing. That means that the chaos that's going to take place is going to be so horrific that men's hearts are going to fail them for fear for those things coming upon the earth. Your wife, who is not a Christian, your husband, who's not a Christian, or one that is a false convert that does not have the Holy Spirit in them, now are going to turn you in. And Scripture says that. Now are going to point the fingers at you and think that they're doing God a favor by getting rid of you who have the Holy Spirit. How terrible it is going to be to have those that we care about and love turn on us. And how terrible it would be to think that you yourself, who are not in Christ, to actually be an agent that would harm your own children, that would harm your spouse that you love very much, that would become an agent of Satan because you yourself have not received Jesus Christ. You practice sorcery. You practice witchcraft. You've been in the occult. You reject Jesus Christ, which is the ultimate sin, by the way, blaspheming the Holy Spirit. To think that you would actually cause harm to the people you love. Now think about it. And I mentioned this in the other broadcast, that if a large destruction takes place and you have a million or so people that perish in a very short period of time, maybe in the flash of a nuclear bomb, that the spirits that are within them now no longer have a body or a host to be in. The person's dead. Once a person dies, the spirit leaves. The spirits. They're going to look for anyone who has an open door. So now you have churches who have not been doing deliverance, who have not set the captives free, who have not broken the curses, who have not closed the doors and sealed them with the blood of Jesus of the past sins, with the breaking of the curses. Now, you're going to see mayhem like you've never seen before. this is going to overwhelm even the most seasoned Christian who does walk in the Spirit. But God is going to withdraw those people. He's going to, as in Psalm 91, take them under his wing. There's going to be an exodus. There's going to be protection. Those who have the seal of God on their forehead, who have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, though you may die in your flesh, your spirit will be with God. Now, it will be a time of before the bema seat of Jesus Christ, but the point of it is that you're not going to be thrown in the lake of fire. And so if you are not a Christian, you need to understand what's coming. Children, as I get older, become more precious. I'm now in my upper 50s. I was not particularly a child lover, you know, to say that how women could just love children. I wasn't that way when I was younger, as a young adult, and even a father. But as I went through deliverance, as I understood who God is, as I saw the real spirit world, how it's trying to harm children, they have become so precious to me. And children's deliverance is one of the most fulfilling works of God that I have ever seen. To see a child who is sick and wounded, a child who has been abused, brought out of that, and healed and delivered. To have the target taken off of their back, that they're no longer susceptible to the perversion of pedophiles. And to deliver a pedophile so he no longer, or she no longer, has the desire of children and attacks them and does their, you know, the evil acts. So get right with God. Understand what's really going on. Go to your pastor and say, we need deliverance in this church. This man, Scott Hensler, at his website, scotthensler.org, has the information. Have him call me. I will talk to him. I will pray for your pastor. I will deliver your pastor. I will break the curses of deception off of him so he can see the truth. And in that, that's going to flow down into the congregation, and you're not going to be a part of the last day's terror as an instrument of Satan. So woe to you who think you've got it all set out. If you have not surrendered to God, if you have not received Jesus Christ, if he is not your full Lord and Savior, if you have not been delivered, there is no guarantee. You need to surrender now while you draw breath. God loves you. He wants you in his kingdom. He's calling for you. He sent his son, Jesus Christ. I mean, how, that's amazing. To give us the power and authority, the angelic power and authority of God, to save your children, to protect your children, to bring yourself out of hurts and wounds and anxieties and pain and suffering. No more thoughts of suicide. But true joy. Do you know what real joy is? Oh, you can be happy. You can go to the bar and have a couple beers. You can laugh at something on TV. But I mean real joy. To actually see the real power of God. Because if he's the creator of the universe, which he is, if he's the author of the Bible, which he is, then why are the churches not seeing the power of God flow? Why? Because the congregation is bound. They're under a curse. They haven't been delivered because the great commission of Jesus Christ has been suppressed. That means death to the congregation. God's people perish from the lack of knowledge. And so I appeal to you that those who hear this and finally get it, that the spirit of religion that has bound you into rejecting the Holy Spirit, grieving the Holy Spirit because you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to flow, is a death sentence for you and anyone else that you could have touched and brought them to this understanding and delivered them. And there's going to be judgment. the angels go about vigorously recording in the books, which will be opened in the last, in the judgment, to our gifts, to what we've done, have we been obedient, and to our errors and wrongs. And I would rather hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," than to hear, "Depart from me, I do not know you." And those who think that you have fire insurance, you need to think again. Because if you're not doing the will of God, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." That commandment is in the Great Commission. And if a church isn't doing that, then you need to understand that what you're doing is serving Satan. That's how important deliverance is in a church. And a church that rejects it is allowing demons to have their way. They're having a big party. They're all high-fiving in themselves there. They're up in the rafters. They're sitting next to you in the pews. You come in, you've got anxieties. You don't feel good. You read the word, it doesn't make any sense. You try and read the word at night, you fall asleep. Where's the joy? Where's the power? It's there. But because of the denial of the mainstream churches, you're not receiving it. The Holy Spirit's not being released. False doctrines are coming in. You're standing down because you believe in the pre-trib rapture. You think it was all done on the cross, so you don't need to break curses. You don't need to lay hands on people to remove and cast out demons. But that's a lie. You need to, and you need to have it done for you. You need to have it done to break the curses off of your life, your family, so your children do not suffer. So your children don't go down the same road you did. And in that, joy will be restored. The heavens will open up and the blessings will pour upon you. You'll be back right with God again. You'll hear from God. He'll bless you for what you're doing. And in the last days, as the turmoil comes, you won't fold in. You won't cower. You won't perish in your spirit. You'll be able to hold your hand up and say, "You foul demons of hell, how dare you do this to a child of the Most High God? I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curses off you. I take the strongholds off. I release this property, this land, from your strongholds. It's now a sanctuary that those who are hurting and wounded now can come here to receive the blessings, to receive the healings, to feel the touch of God, and to know that they are loved and adored by the God of the universe. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. What we bind on earth, we bind in the heavens. What we loose on earth, we loose in the heavens." That's what that means. The heavens, the second heaven. Do you understand that? You've got to fight. Put on the full armor of God, draw the sword, and take back what the enemy has stolen from you. For you are a child of God, bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And in it, those you love will be saved, will be protected, will not fall to the demonic sword. And joy will fill your heart for the first time. You'll have that vertical relationship with God that you never felt before, that you've been missing all this time. I promise you that. Father, thank you for allowing me to speak to these people that need to hear this word to me, to understand who they are in Christ, and that they will be delivered from the strongholds that have kept them from being the men and women of God that God so, that you so want them to be. I thank you in Jesus' name. Again, this is Scott Hensler Network. I'm going to try and be on every day. Email me at scott@scotthensler.org. Go to my website, scotthensler.org. and see the videos, get my new book, Second Heaven Invasion, learn how to fight in the spirit, how to do deliverance, and set your family free. God bless you. Good night.